Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
So this is the fifth lesson in a series called The Psychology in the Parables. And just before we start, I just want to remember we always talk about remembering the basics. The Bruce Lee story, a kick is a punch is a punch. And so this idea is getting back to the basics again, just to help you realize that in this talk specifically, I'm going to be using the word, the concept Jesus Christ quite often. And the reason why I mention that is in a lot of Unity churches, you don't even hardly ever hear that mentioned. But you need to understand that when you say those words, Jesus Christ, it sets up a vibration in your body that begins to heal all there is that's going on inside of you. Okay, we use the term Jesus Christ to refer to the Christ consciousness. If it was Buddhism, it would be another term. If it was Hinduism, it would be another term. If it was Judaism, another term. But everybody has this idea that points to what we call the God story. And the God story is an archetypical story, which means it exists in many different cultures. I think you might remember me telling you the story when we were in the Grand Canyon, and we went into the Grand Canyon with the Native American guide. You can only get into the bottom of the canyon through a Native American guide because you have to go through their reservation. And he was telling us his God story. And he said that in their tradition, the great princess opened herself up and the river flowed into her and she gave birth to the great warrior. The same God story. You get what I'm saying? Okay. So for us, that vibration is created by the concept of Jesus Christ, right? So just keep that in mind as we go through this talk. And again, this is, again, the psychology in the parables. One of the most difficult things for us probably to understand in this evolutionary process is understanding that we are in the rudimentary stages of our spiritual growth and unfoldment. You know, if we could just remember this, we would end up being a lot more gentle and compassionate and understanding and forgiving of ourselves and each other if we knew that we were in process. We're trying to remember who we are, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. You know, and if we could just remember that in our emotional challenges that we have in life, we could say to ourselves, oh yeah, that's right. I must remember that I am, she is, we are still in the beginning stages of our spiritual growth. So therefore, I need to be a little bit more gentle, compassionate, patient, understanding, forgiving. I think there was a t-shirt that says, be gentle with me, I am still awakening, or something like that. So, you know, we may be grown in human terms, but spiritually we are infants needing to be nurtured with divine love and fed with spiritual food. You know, that's why Jesus, when Peter said to him, you know, he said, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, I do love you. Then he said, feed my lambs. He was talking about those who are, you know, very immature in the spiritual process, okay? And it's also when Jesus taught us to pray, he taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, okay? Now, on the surface, he was talking about psychological and emotional comfort for those who are not ready for deeper spiritual concepts, right? And through Scripture, you see where he would explain that, you know, he said to the disciples, you know, I have so much more that I want to teach you, but you're not getting what I'm telling you. So I can't take it to another level yet. And remember, those disciples were at a higher level than most of the people who came to listen to him, as we see in the Sermon on Mount Sinai, where Jesus went up the mountain, and the disciples came halfway up the mountain, and the rest of the people stayed at the bottom. So what that means is Jesus went up to the level of consciousness to where he was. The disciples weren't quite yet there, so they came up the mountain to where they could be, but the rest of the masses stayed at the bottom. Okay, and so he's always understanding that when he's speaking to people who have various levels of understanding of what he's saying. Okay? So at the surface, he was saying, you know, that you know, your daily bread is that comfort that you get during the day from spirit. But metaphysically, Jesus was talking about being open to receiving the super substantial bread from heaven that we receive as the Word of God, okay? Now, the Word of God being the method by which God reveals God's self to everyone, but to a greater degree to those who are more spiritually developed. So we are always getting the Word of God throughout the day. You're in traffic, and the Word of God is saying, just be still, be patient. You know, you're getting it all the time. But again, but those who are at a much higher level are getting even higher level information from Spirit and that divine guidance. So that Word of God is always coming to us. So spiritually speaking, our daily bread is the sustenance of our mind, body, and soul. It is the spiritual word of truth. In other words, when in a challenging situation, you're able to know. So stuff is going on and you're really feeling challenged. If you are able to know in your heart, mind, and soul that God is love and compassion, peace and understanding, unlimited supply in that moment of your need, okay? If you can get, understand that in those moments, you're receiving your daily bread, okay? So your daily bread is the divine substance, which is the sustenance of every aspect of your life. You sustain your spiritual life by eating daily the Word of God that we're referring to as our daily bread. Did that all make sense? Okay, all right. So faith in your time of need is your daily bread. Love and compassion, patience, and the peace that surpasses all understanding is your daily bread in your time of need. The spiritual words of truth are the super substantial bread from heaven that sustain us as we strive to overcome the challenges in our life. So when you feel yourself emotionally distraught, instead of reaching for that little pill that's going to calm you down, reach for your daily bread. Be open to receive Spirit in that particular moment, okay? So sustenance is that which sustains. So just as we take in food to sustain our physical bodies and energize our minds, so do words of truth integrate into our thinking and sustain our spiritual body and spiritual mind. So it's not just about feeding our physical body and mind, it's about feeding also our spiritual body and mind, okay? And when we are conscious of sustaining our spiritual body and spiritual mind with super substantial bread from heaven, our physical body is strengthened, healed, and made free from disease, and our mind is made peaceful and creative and free from the dis-ease of worry and fear that rises up in our lives. So the key here is that if I'm continuously feeding my body and my mind with spiritual food, when stuff happens, I'm ready. All right? So if you find that stuff is happening and you find yourself distraught and upset, you did not prepare yourself for that process. You have to prepare yourself by always, because stuff is going to what? Happen, all right? So it's always preparing yourself for that by always taking in that spiritual food. Now, we each can probably name many experiences in our lives which we could have done without. Am I right? Okay. However, now listen carefully, it is through our experiences that we're given the opportunity to remember our divine connection. It is through our experiences and relationships that we're given the opportunity to consume our daily bread, our super substantial bread from heaven, to fortify us and give us the strength and the courage to have faith and love rather than ego and fear. So it's like Joel Goldstein said, if nothing ever happens in life, we just kind of just trip through life all happy, not thinking about anything. It's when stuff hits us that we wake up and they'll say, oh God, please help me. Am I right? So there's a process of we're always, you know, being in this mindset of realizing when things happen, it's not the thing itself that we want to pay attention to. It is whether or not I'm still connected with Spirit. Am I still centered? Did this thing that happened, did I allow it to knock me off my spiritual center? Okay? Because the thing is going to happen. What we have to understand is the thing that happens is really called upon by our, or created out of our soul to see where we are in this moment. You get it? And the thing that happened for you is the thing that happened to you because you are ready to deal with it. You're ready to be centered in spirit as you go through whatever this is that was given to you. Now, in the book, Walking Between Two Worlds, what I'm getting ready to read, you have to really listen to get this point. It says, all throughout Scripture and throughout the mystical works of the ancients, we are given a promise. The promise states that while you are not your experience, you must come to know yourself through your experience to be able to master your extremes. All right? You must strive to know your extremes so that you may find your balance. However, in learning your extremes, you must keep in mind that you are not your successes or your failures or your career or your sickness or your poverty. You are not even your joys, your ecstasies, your fear, your pain. These are elements of your experiences that allow you the opportunity to know yourself in all ways so that those ways can be mastered. You are in this world, but you are not of it. That's a powerful reading. And this idea that, you know, many of us can think about things we've been through that took us to our extreme. In a sense, you have to know what those extremes are so that you can be a master in the extreme instead of being a victim of the extreme. Does that make sense? Because most of the time when we're taken to the extreme, then we're victims. You want to be able to be at the extreme and still be a master. You want to be on the cross and be able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was at his extreme, but he still was forgiving. Does that make sense? Okay. So it's recorded in John 8:23 that Jesus said, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. What Jesus is referring to is the difference between our choice and his choice. We choose to bury ourselves in the activities of this world with only a scanty involvement in the activities of prayer, meditation, and contemplation. Okay? On the other hand, Jesus and other great enlightened masters chose to engage themselves in deep spiritual contemplation even while they're going about their daily activity. All right? So we need the spiritual practice of prayer, meditation, and spiritual contemplation to help us to remember our spiritual connection. You know, and so that's the concept we're working with. Remember my favorite thing, we're the wave in the ocean. So when you see the wave, I'm saying this for people who haven't heard me before, when you see the wave come out of the ocean, you ought to say, there's a wave. But that wave is still connected to the ocean. And eventually it settles back down into that which it came from. Every one of us is a wave in the ocean. And even though we might be here 70, 80, 90, 100 years, you know, in spirit, that's a blink of an eye. You follow me? So if you remember that you're the wave in the ocean, then you have to also remember that you're still connected to the source, okay? And so that's the concept of how do I constantly remember, no matter what I'm going through, that I'm always connected to the source. There's a daily thing that comes up on my computer, and this is what one of the days said. It says, the great enemy to achieving Christ consciousness today is the idea that we must always be busy doing the practical work that has no basis in the New Testament, but comes from the systems of the world today. Okay. Now, as you listen to this, man, this is a paradox, because the paradox for us is we got stuff to do and we're busy, right? We got cell phones that connect us to everything, and everything connects us to it. As I was telling you, in my marketing textbook that I teach at the college, it used to be called multi-channel marketing. Now it's called omni-channel marketing. Because we are always connected, okay? And something happened to our phone, and we're like, what? Freaked out, okay? Because we're not connected anymore, all right? And so that's why I say it's a paradox, because a paradox is, how do I wrap my mind around not always being busy, always being connected, okay? But it says this practical work we insist on, this practical work we insist on engaging in demands an endless amount of energy and time, but no private life in God. All right. It says the central point of our life is to develop a personal relationship with our Christ mind. It is not a public display of how productive, efficient, and useful we can be. It is not the activity of doing that strengthens our divine connection. Our divine strength comes from taking the time throughout the day to stop doing and just be. B be immersed in the truth of God, to soak in God's light. And he goes on to say, you have no idea of your future circumstances. This is what we'll talk about in a minute. And no knowledge of what stress and strain is going to be placed on you. And if you waste your time in overactivity instead of being immersed in the great fundamental truths of God's redemption, then you will snap when the stresses and strains do come. However, if you are taking time daily to soak in God's light, getting rooted and grounded, and even though you may not, it may not appear to be practical in your time, you may be able to remain centered in Christ no matter what happens in your life. And so sometimes we say, okay, I'm just going to just be still. But you're sitting and being still going, but I got stuff to do, you know, because it doesn't feel practical to just be still. And it doesn't mean being still for 20, 30 minutes. If you're still for just a minute, okay, there is a app you can get on your phone called YouPray. And you can set it to go off every so often. And when it goes off, it's just signaling you to just be still. You know, not asking for nothing, not just being still. Okay. And quite often, whether we realize it or not, being busy is our way of getting attention, approval, or maybe sympathy or consolation. Whatever the reason, if we honestly examine our motives for being so busy and expressing how busy we are, right? Some of us may find that our busyness is self-designed to keep us from allowing time to just go into the silence, okay? And many of us keep busy because we are afraid of what we might find within the hidden recesses of our minds that requires some deep healing and forgiveness work, which is why we do the prayer, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, soul, mind, and body. Reveal in me that which needs to be revealed, and heal in me that which needs to be healed. So in those moments of silence, just say that affirmation, okay? Remember, I did warn you that when you say that affirmation, reveal in me that which needs to be revealed, you got to be ready, right? Because that stuff is going to stick its head up, right? Those things that we have repressed because we could not emotionally deal with them anymore, they are still there, alive, active, organic, and having a tremendous impact on our lives, okay? And they want to come up so that you can forgive them and heal them and then reintegrate them back into yourself as love, okay? So what we must understand is our wounds will not be healed or our hidden fears will not be overcome until we're willing to slow down and take time to just be, okay? And all of us have heard stories or had personal experience where we heard somebody we know or ourselves was slowed down through some unpleasant occurrence, okay? But we do not want an unpleasant occurrence to be the catalyst for us to take the time to do the inner work required to remember our divine connection. And that stuff will happen, guys. It will happen. We're busy, 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 going, doing our thing, you know, and the universe is saying, but I need a little bit of time with you. And we're not listening, and then bam, something happens. Well, you have to be still, okay? We don't want that to happen. We want to willingly take time to be still often throughout the day. As it is written in John 14:22, it is by demonstrating through your actions that you are disciples of the teachings of Jesus Christ that your divine connection will be revealed, okay? And one of the disciples asked Jesus, well, why is it that you're only revealing yourself to us and you're not revealing yourself to others? In other words, letting them know that he is the Son of God, but did not reveal that to others. He said the simple answer is that the world is too busy and out of work to stop and become still and listen to the truth being revealed to them. The truth that we are one with God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus emphasized our divine connection to spirit in John 10:30 when he said, I and my Father are one. And for those who hadn't heard that explained before, I is God and Father is God. So Jesus never was mentioning himself. He was not mentioning the personality. He was mentioning the truth of his being, the truth of who I am and the Father are one. Okay, and so, you know, he gave us, that was a simple thing, but he gave a further explanation to this to his disciples in John 15, 1 through 11. Now just bear with me as I read this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have given you. He's talking to his disciples. Remain in me, and I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay? And if any of you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. That doesn't need any interpretation. All right? And so, you know, this is similar to the last words, the words we got in last week's talk from the video. How many people here were here and saw the video? Okay. And the video basically was the Christ saying, stay awake with me. Because whenever stuff happens to us or happens in the world, like it did in Vegas and the fires and, you know, all those things, you know, we become fearful and afraid. And Christ, and when we become fearful and afraid, we're falling asleep. We're falling back into the Adam dream that we're separate from God. Okay, because remember, Adam and Eve, all they knew was God. They didn't know anything else but God. But then they fell into the Adam dream. The second Adam, Jesus, came to wake us up from that dream that we fell into way back then. But when fear hits us and worry and so forth, we fall asleep. And Jesus, you know, he took his three favorite disciples, Peter, John, and James, love, faith, and wisdom with him. And he came back and Peter was asleep. And he says, Peter being faith, and he said, Lord, he said, Peter, can't you not stay awake with me? And that's what the Christ is always saying. Stay awake. Don't fall into the sleeplessness of fear about what is happening in the world. Okay? So the question is, how do I remain in Christ? How do I stay awake? You stay awake through prayer, meditation, and spiritual contemplation. Well, how do the branches get cut away from me, you ask? They are the branches of fear and hatred, and anger and condemnation. They're the branches of unforgiveness, harsh judgment, jealousy, envy, pride, covetousness. And when you take the time to do the inner work, slowly but surely, everything that is not of spirit will be trimmed away from you. So it's not about your ego going, all right, I'm going to stop doing that. Because, you know, that's not going to work, right? That you have to go in and be open and receptive to spirit, trimming those things away from you. However, I can liken this idea to the beginning of the process of some work that I was doing many, many years when we first moved into our house. We had those trees hanging everywhere. There were so many trees, it was so dense that when a rainstorm, you could stand out in my yard and not get wet. You know, so what was happening is that, you know, nothing was growing under the trees. So what I did is I went out and spent several days, I don't know if you remember, cutting those branches. Cutting branches away. I got a friend of mine who knows about trees, told me how to cut the branches, not to hurt the tree, right? So I'm cutting branches. I'm dragging them down and throwing them in the back and cutting branches. And now I would have Pam come out and say, "Hun, look what I've done." And she couldn't tell because there was still so many trees and branches left, right? And still no light was coming through. So I just kept working, cutting branches and dragging them into the back. So eventually we got to the point where light began to come through, okay? Now that's a metaphor. So it's the same with each one of us. We may have so many branches of fear and negativity that in the beginning we might come out of our prayer time and not notice anything different, okay? And we may not notice any new light or any new insight, but if we keep at it, God will eventually remove enough branches of fear and negativity until we begin to see some light. Okay? All right? And you may ask, well, why doesn't God just cut away all the branches of negativity all at one time? The obvious answer is we won't let him. We hold on to our unforgiveness. We hold on to our fear. We hold on to our negativity for dear life, you know, and can't wait to tell each other about it. Okay? So God will only take away a little at a time, only removing what we're ready to let go of. And over time, through the constant daily practice of prayer, meditation, and spiritual contemplation, we become more willing to let go of more of our fearful, negative stuff. And Jesus told his disciples that they had already made the divine connection through their relationship with him. But they had to remain in Christ's consciousness to retain the awareness of the connection. That's why he said, "You must stay in me." He made it clear that if they did not do the inner work necessary to remain aware of the divine connection, they would not be able to do the work of spirit in their lives. And so it is with each one of us. We can only do the work of spirit when we maintain that connection. Okay? And as Jesus said, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you." All right? "And this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And many of us, when we think about some of the things that we've experienced, if we were asked to explain how we feel about it, okay, our response might be, "Words alone could not convey what I went through." Who knows what I'm talking about? Okay? Those monumental experiences we had, you know, good and not so good, that transcend the use of words to explain the why not, the feeling, the emotion, the psychological impact of what we went through. So when you think about it, experience lies beyond words. You cannot really explain it. You just know it happened and you know it had an impact on you. But when you're asked to realize that you must come to know yourself through your experiences, to be able to master your extremes, and that you must strive to know your extremes so that you may find your balance in life, then you begin to understand that you're moving beyond your experience. All right? It's like the Star Trek series I told you about, where the captain was with these highly evolved beings, and they kept seeming to bring him back to this point where his wife was being killed by the Borg. And he said, "Why do you keep bringing me back here?" And they said, "We're not bringing you back here. You're bringing us here because this is where you live. You live in this horrible part of your life where something happened and you have not left it." You get it? But that extreme, when you can master your emotions at that level, then you get beyond the experience. Is that making sense, everybody? Okay. And once you have reached that place that is beyond the experience, you are ready, with God's help, to know the truth. The truth being that the experience was merely a tool, a vehicle to guide you to knowing that despite what you may have happened in your life, you are and always have been connected to God through Jesus Christ. Okay? And with that realization, true healing begins and begins to take place. The wounds caused by the experience begin to heal, and what is left is a forgiving soul, a loving heart, and a joy-filled, peaceful mind. With that, we should begin to understand that everything we have ever been through had a specific purpose, okay? And it's to get us to that point of realizing that I'm connected to all that God is. So this is the end of the series on the psychology and the principle of the parables. And I hope that through this series, you have gained a new and greater understanding of your divine connection to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.